What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to get a lot of help from Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Denny. I think gardeners are getting ready to dance in the street. Maybe dance in the garden this week.
Maybe so. But as the snow melts, and we'll probably see it all gone, we think, by the end of the week, maybe even sooner, don't walk on the lawn yet, please, right?
Right. Yes. Don't walk on the lawn yet. But there's lots of things we can do to get ready to garden, because hopefully, yes, spring is coming. You know, St. Patrick's Day is the day to plant peas in much of the United States. And in my many years in Minnesota, I've only done that once. One year could I plant peas on St. Patrick's Day. But it's yes, there are garden things we can do.
Well, let's talk about those specific things coming up here. And if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to chat or send a text to Mary. And there's just one phone number or text number to remember. And that is 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. And if you are a regular listener to our Smart Garden Show, you know we tend to get pretty busy. We don't want to miss out on your questions. If there's any chance you can get it to us sooner rather than later, right, Mary? Because we do always get kind of backed up,
yes,
in time. So call or text, whatever's easier for you, 651-461-9226. All right, you kind of started off with that thought, Mary, about what we can do in anticipation of these warmer temperatures. After tonight, and maybe even just let me double check here to be sure, I'm thinking about an overnight low. Tonight's overnight low is going to be about 23, and then Sunday night around 30. But after that, after like Tuesday, I think it'll be above freezing every night, maybe even, 30s, upper 30s.
Yes.
What can we be doing this time of year?
Well, hopefully most people have thought about ordering seeds. I've ordered my vegetable seeds, some flower seeds, so I got the specific kinds that I wanted. Many stores, of course, have seeds in the store. You can go in the garden center and buy your seeds. So get your seeds organized. There are some seeds you can start right now, things that have a longer growing season, leeks, onions, celery, broccoli, cabbage, peppers even you can start now. Tomatoes, probably wait a little bit on tomatoes till early April, but get your seeds lined up and make sure you get the kinds that you want. If you're going to do any new planting with trees or shrubs, many of the cities now, and of course garden centers are getting their supplies in, but my city, the city of Plymouth, does a tree and shrub sale and offers bare root plants, and that's only right now early in the spring that you order those and you pick those up in May. So think about if there are any trees and shrubs that you want to diversify in your lawn and plant. Look up, research those. I listened to or watched some master gardener. Hennepin County has a virtual tour because we couldn't tour in person for gardens last year. The Hennepin County Master Gardeners did four short virtual tours of really, really nice gardens, not anything extravagant, but just very practical gardens. For a small fee, you can look at these tours. They're each about 10 minutes long. So very inspiring to think about what could I do on that steep slope or difficult area you have in your yard. But really fun to see what those videos were. And then there are classes coming up. The Arboretum, as well as the Horticulture Society, have many classes classes taught by master gardeners or extension professionals, pruning hydrangeas, sustainable landscaping, a healthy soil, lots of garden classes that are offered now in the spring. So you can really, really do a lot of learning in addition to getting your own property organized.
What great ideas. And I'm thinking, because we've talked over the years the success and the popularity of gardening, and a lot of people don't realize exactly how popular gardening is. And we've said it in the past, people would say, how come you guys get so many calls and texts? I said, I have learned over the years, I've been taught that gardening is the number one leisure time activity in the United States above all sports, whether you're participating or just watching or listening, in our case here on the radio. I mean, that's huge.
It's huge. You know, gardening is very rewarding. I mean, it's physically an activity you can do, but it's, you know, you see plants change when you're gardening, and that's very gratifying. And it keeps us going in gardening because things are always changing and interacting with plants. And it's very relaxing as well. And it checks a lot of boxes for keeping us healthy, and you know, growing food, of course, is one thing, but just the act of being in nature, being outside, nurturing plants, it's really a very healing and healthy experience.
Yes, as they say, it's great therapy for sure.
Yes, right.
8:14 is our time. Just speaking of time, Mary, just a reminder to our listeners, to all of us, to turn our clocks ahead 1 hour overnight tonight. We're going to return to daylight saving time early tomorrow morning. So you lose an hour of sleep tonight, turn your clocks ahead 1 hour overnight tonight. Here's a question, Mary, that I know we're going to get. We have been getting recently because of the time of the year. Can I still trim my oak trees today?
Well, it has been so cold.
Yes.
You could trim your oak trees. So the idea is to do this when everything is dormant and there are no active insects. So April 1st is the cutoff date. So you have just to do this when everything is dormant and there are no active insects. So April 1st is the cutoff date. So you have just a few more days, a couple weeks now to do that, because once it warms up and we consistently have days in the 50s, nights above freezing, insects will become active again, and then we'll have to stop pruning, definitely for oaks. So oaks are the ones that we don't want to prune when the weather is warm. So I would go ahead and do that. We have a little bit more latitude with other plants. Fruit trees should be pruned now in the spring. Apple trees, very popular with lots of people. And you have a little bit more time to prune those. But late winter, early spring, we still can do quite a bit of tree trimming.
Okay. I know we have to take a quick break here. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, let's line them up right now. We have some text coming in as we speak. If you'd like to call in your lawn or garden question, that's great. Or send a text. Here is the number to do either. 651-461-9226. Cecil, time is 8:16. Again, turn those clocks ahead 1 hour as you retire tonight. As far as temperature goes, right now in the Twin Cities officially, we have two above, so we have gone above zero, but that wind chill still at a minus 11. So keep that in mind if you're heading out today. High today later on will be around 29. We'll get up to near 41 tomorrow. Right now, a plus 2. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text. And here again is the number for either, 651-461-9226. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. And Mary, we have callers and texters, as usual. Let's see who's first here. Cynthia is calling in, I believe, from Buffalo this morning. Cynthia, what is your question for Mary?
Good morning, Mary and Denny. Because of the drought last year, I raked up quite a bit of my lawn, and I put new soil down and seeded. And then in some areas, I just overseeded. I do have a lawn service that comes out for spring, summer, fall. And I was wondering if I should have them wait until the grass has grown more. Their first application is a crabgrass control and a fertilizer. And then after that, they'll come out early season with a fertilizer and a weed control. Should I let them know what I did and just have them wait?
Well, Cynthia, yes, good questions. You definitely should let them know. If your lawn was not up enough so that you were mowing it last year, then yes, you definitely do not want to put on that crabgrass control. The crabgrass control in the spring will kill any germinating seed. So it kills the good seed as well as the bad seed. So on an established lawn where you've had crabgrass, that seed you want to kill because there's not much seed growing there. The plants are well established. But if you're getting your lawn established, the pre-emergence killers will hurt the good seed as well. So yes, be sure and tell them. I would say to wait to do the crabgrass killer till you've mowed the lawn a couple of times and it's really gotten itself established. The broadleaf weed killers that will go on later, usually those are a liquid, and those would be okay. Those will not hurt the germinating seed, but definitely talk to them.
And Mary, maybe at this point we could mention the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. Great lawn, or rather, well, everything lawn for that matter. But as far as specifically gardening and lawn care with the different levels, different fertilizer, you know, whatever, they have a timeline and check it out, right? As far as lawns are concerned.
As far as lawns are concerned, right, lots of things to do throughout the year. We have a great lawn care calendar that talks about timing, when to put things on, different chemicals. But yeah, extension.umn.edu.
Okay. Here's a text, Mary. It says, good morning. I have an old Christmas cactus whose leaves are turning white. It did bloom recently and seems healthy. Just looks bad. What am I doing wrong is the question.
So the white leaves are a sign those leaves are pretty much dying because the chlorophyll is gone from them. You might want to trim those off. Maybe they're going to fall off kind of on their own. I noticed that my Christmas cactus is losing some of its leaves right now. Many plants at the spring of the year will start rejuvenating. So if it flowered and it looked good earlier, it might just be going through a rejuvenation period. You might want to turn it over, see if you can gently remove the pot and look at the roots, see if you see white, healthy roots. If you don't, it might be a good time to think about repotting it, but make sure it has really good light conditions. And of course, the short days are the cool temperatures in the 50s that will really get a Christmas cactus to bloom.
All right, let's get back to the phones, Mary. I think John is calling in from St. Paul this morning. John, you're on CCO with Mary.
Yes, thank you very much. I have 5 3-year-old arborvitaes, and I was gone from the middle of December to the end of February and came back, and all of them are eaten up about 2 feet. There's nothing left, but the rest of it looks perfect. Is that rabbits or deer, or what's going on there?
It could be either of those, John. Unfortunately, arborvitae is a great food source for a lot of animals, and we do find that deer like it. Depending on, these are probably not really tall, but sounds like more browsing at the base is probably rabbits. So this winter has been tough on people and tough on wildlife as well. So they probably were looking for a food source and found arborvitae, which is quite a favorite. It's really difficult to get that any plants to rejuvenate from the bottom like that. I would just recommend that you do a good job making sure that they're well watered this year because of the drought conditions that we had. Lots of evergreens did suffer. But at this point, it's really hard to do anything when you've lost the bottom part of the plant.
Okay. This, thank you, John. This texter says this. Hi, I have a big bag of dried mulched maple leaves in the garage. Is there anything I can do with them in the yard or garden?
Yes, you can definitely use those maple leaves. I would say the better it's better if they're chopped up, but it doesn't really matter. I create my own leaf mold. I keep a pile of just leaves, and they decay on their own. And then I use that for mulching around my perennial beds, even wherever I don't want weeds to grow around whatever I'm growing. Starting a new bed using leaf mulch is a great way to cover up the soil. So yes, I would go ahead and think about using those. If they're really, they're crispy and dry, they will not have deteriorated very much. You can always, of course, add those to a compost pile as well.
Pretty good. I grab a phone call from Cole, who's calling in from North Branch this morning. Cole, you are on CCO with Mary Meyer. What is your question, please?
I have heard that tomato leaves are poisonous. Why are the tomatoes and seeds okay to eat since they make the leaves?
Cole, great question. The leaves are actually not that poisonous. They might give you a stomach ache if you ate them, or may not taste very good, upset stomach, something like that. Yes, a lot of people were... suspect of tomatoes and felt that they were poisonous. But they're in a family, the Solanaceae family, where there are other poisonous plants. But the tomatoes that we grow today, the ones that have been bred for their fruits and so on, don't have many alkaloids or other poisons in their leaves. Potatoes were thought the same thing, that a part of the potato was poisonous. But it's not so much with our tomatoes and potatoes, but there are other members of that family that are poisonous, especially more with their fruits than the foliage. So good reminder, Cole, to always really know what you're eating.
And it's also good to hear younger voices interested in gardening,
yes,
too, isn't it?
It's great. It's
yeah.
Great. Yeah.
I tell you what, let's do, Mary. Let's take a break and see what kind of forecast we're facing here this coming week. I think it's good news. So hang on. We have about another half hour of our Lawn and Garden show. We call it Smart Garden, welcoming your calls or text messages, your Lawn and Garden questions for Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226. Two above zero, the forecast straight ahead. Here on News... What are we? We're News Talk 830. I forget. WCCO. Stay with us. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering your lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text, as usual, 651-461-9226. You can call it in or text it in with that number, 651-461-9226. Mary, what's been going on and what is going on at the Arboretum? We always like to talk about that great place.
Yes, great to talk about the Arboretum. There's a lot going on this week. There's yoga classes. There are full moon hikes. And coming up a week from today is the Maple Fest. So you can sign up for that. You do need reservations to go to the Arboretum. The Maple Fest used to be called the Pancake Brunch. It's, a wonderful place to get maple syrup, to see the maple trees being tapped. You can walk in the woods. Get expert advice on how to do that if you have some of your own maple trees you want to tap, or just enjoy the maple syrup there. And of course, a great place to walk around. There are a lot of events going on at the Arboretum, and wonderful place to get outside.
Absolutely. And easy to get to, just west on Highway 5 and 41, I guess, is the closest intersection, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Let's grab a phone call from Diane, who I believe is calling in from Linwood this morning. Diane, thank you. What is your question for Mary?
Yes, we have a cabin up in Danbury, Wisconsin. And when we were up there last weekend, our son, who is quite knowledgeable in science things, we noticed that the bark on several trees was chewed all the way up. And he said it was porcupines. Is there anything we can do to deter that?
Interesting, Diane. Yes, it could certainly be porcupines eating food, yeah, for the winter. At this point, I'm not sure what you can do. If the tree has been encircled and the bark has been removed from the whole way around, that tree will die. If part of it is still intact, the tree might be okay. The younger the tree is, it might affect how much vigor or health it has. Younger trees might be more susceptible to actually die. But no, at this point, I don't think there's anything that you can do. We have some beavers near our house on the DNR property, and I've seen too many oak trees come down from those beavers. But when I complained to the DNR, they said, well, it's nature. these beavers have to eat, and we are not going to really interfere so much with nature and what they're doing. So as tough as it is to see that damage, some people think that the animals have to live as well.
Very good. Again, here's our number, 651-461-9226. Hi, Mary. This texter says, I have a large cedar waist-high planter box that cost me $120 to fill with organic soil. What do I need to do with that soil for this year's veggies and herbs? Thank you for all the info you provide. Enjoy this segment so much. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, this question is so interesting because today with more sustainable thinking, people are thinking twice about buying peat moss, which is one of the components that we use in North America a lot for horticulture purposes. Much of the container soil that you buy has peat moss in it. And there's a lot of controversy about how sustainable peat is. In the United States, peat harvesting is quite sustainable. We are using very little of what's available, mostly coming out of Canada, and there's a lot of restoration with the peat companies in North America anyway. It's a different situation over in Britain than it is in the United States. But I try to reuse container soil if possible. There are two times that I do not reuse it. Number one is if the plants that were growing there had diseases. If you've had tomatoes, you have to be really careful about removing any of the roots of the tomatoes, any of the foliage and so on. So remove any of diseased plant parts so that the soil doesn't recontaminate your plants next year. And I do mix it up. Sometimes I take it completely out, remix it in a wheelbarrow. Sometimes I add a little bit more potting soil to it. But the other thing I do is you have to pay close attention to adding additional fertilizer. So because this is a synthetic soil, usually in our containers, there's no mineral soil in there. There are not as many nutrients. So if you're reusing your container soil, you have to add additional fertilizer in a slow release or use a liquid fertilizer. And then don't reuse that soil if you have had diseased plants in it.
Okay. This texter, and then we'll get back to the phones. This texter says, good morning. They saw Mary on television talking about bee lawns. Where does one buy the seed mix? At County Extension? Tell us about that.
Yes. Yeah. So that was a Prairie Yard and Garden show that I did recently that was taped last summer. So the Arboretum has demonstration plots on bee lawns. You can also find a lot of information up at the Extension website and at the Bee Lab website. BeeLabUMN.edu has a lot of information on flowering lawns. And our turf folks at the University of Minnesota as well, there are several seed companies now in the Twin Cities that sell bee lawn mixes. These usually have white clover, slow-growing fescue, lawn seed, prunella or self-heal, and then we used a creeping thyme for a flower. more. So those three flowers, you might find in a mix already. Some of the local garden centers have that, but you can find that, you can find a list of retailers that have bee lawn mixes, either through the beelab.umn.edu, I think you can just, or the turfgrass, turf.umn.edu, I know have those mixes. You know, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to say you could find those products, but they are available now today.
And that's a great idea. Great idea.
Yeah.
Let's grab a phone call from Sue, who I believe is calling in from Shoreview this morning. Thank you for waiting, Sue. What is your question, Sue, for Mary?
Good morning, Mary. St. Patrick's Day is approaching. Can you discuss the oxalis plant, in other words, the shamrock plant?
Yes, Sue, we do see these now for sale this time of year. They tend to be a relatively short-lived plant, and the kinds that are sold as a container plant or flowering plant may not be hardy outside. They like cool weather conditions, and so I would just enjoy them temporarily as a house plant. You can try putting them out in your garden and see if they grow. I doubt if they will live through our winter conditions, but they usually like cool conditions, and yeah, they work out really well for a spring flowering plant.
All right. Another text says this: good morning. What is the best way to care for a Diffenbachia plant? Are they an easy indoor plant to have?
You know, I think they are, because I've seen many old Diefenbachias that are like 10, 15 years old that people have had in their homes. They tend to be medium light levels that they like. They don't have to be really bright light. If anything, they get to be tall with the leaves at the top, and people will call in. They've called in on this show about air layering, or get the roots to come along the stem so they can plant it again and have a short plant. But yeah, I think Diefenbachia is a pretty pretty easy average house plant. I would, yeah, recommend that.
All right, good. Before we break, let's grab another phone call. I think Diane may be calling in from Lakeville this morning. Diane, thank you for calling. What's your question, please?
Yes, hello, Mary. Thank you for your wonderful program. I have been planting some vegetables in whiskey barrels, and this year I want to plant seed flowers. Is there anything special that I have to do with the flower bed, with the dirt that I'm going to be putting the flower seeds in?
I don't think so, Diane. You can use the same thing that you've been doing for vegetables. The whiskey barrel's a really big container, so really deep. You might not need the whole depth of the whiskey barrel. Maybe you've got them cut off so they're not, you know, 4 feet tall. If you have 2 feet deep of soil, 2 to 3 feet, that's plenty for flowers. Some of our vegetables, like tomatoes, would need a bigger They need all of that 2 to 3 feet, but I would say 2 feet is enough for most flowers that you can would need a bigger. They need all of that 2 to 3 feet, but I would say 2 feet is enough for most flowers that you can grow. But yeah, the same thing you've done for vegetables should be fine for flowers.
Very good. Let us take a break. We have more show to come. Just a reminder, not only to turn your clocks ahead, we're going to lose an hour. Spring ahead. Daylight saving time returns tomorrow. But coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, just received word that Jesse Treble from SafeBasements.com is going to be filling in for Andy Lindis today. So if you have any kind of basement question, radon question, bowed wall, sump pump questions, maybe you've got water coming in or will have. That's next hour. Jesse Treble filling in for Andy Lindis. SafeBasements.com. In the meantime, we're talking lawns and gardens on a Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more in a moment. 2 above 0, heading for probably around 29 today here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Denny Long, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. By the way, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. We're here, by the way, every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, thanks to good folks that help you out, like Mary. And Mary, we have a ton of text messages, as usual. Let's see how many folks we can help out here. I hear maybe this one is another candidate to get on the university website. I'll just read it. I rent, so I can't dig in my yard. My front walk gets hot morning sun. My back patio gets hot afternoon sun. I just plant pots. What plants should I plant? They could get some good ideas, right?
Yes, they could get great ideas from extension.umn.edu, but I would say, yes, heat-loving plants, even though it's hot in the morning and then again in the afternoon, you have that sidewalk there, which retains heat, makes it kind of even hotter. But there are some vegetables there that like heat conditions. Zucchini, tomatoes, peppers do like hot weather conditions. And there are some flowers. Some of the pennisetum ornamental grasses really do well with hot weather. Zinnias, sunflowers, they're shorter sunflowers. So there are quite a few plants that will do well with hot conditions. The limiting thing is you really have to water them. So they'll run out of water before they'll light is a problem. But watering containers, the way to go because you're renting. There's actually just a new video that has been posted up on the Extension website about planting in containers. So lots of interest in planting in containers, even raised beds on the ground. But yeah, I would definitely search the Extension website for more ideas.
That's what I want to do this year. Build some raised beds. That sounds like fun.
Oh, good for you, Denny.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens at the end of the season. But here's one for you, Mary. The rabbits have chomped on nearly all of my shrubs this winter. Texter says some of them all the way down to the ground. Any suggestions on how to help them once the snow melts?
Yeah, I would just say watering at this point. We do see tremendous rabbit damage. And just like the previous caller who had the arborvitis, the only way really is prevention for rabbit or animal damage. You need to put some type of a barrier around the plant so that the rabbits can't get to it. So with a tree, with an individual stem, it's a little easier to do some, hardware cloth or chicken wire, something that you can prevent the animal from getting to. When you have shrubs, it's much harder. So always a challenge. Yes, to maintain plants with the wildlife.
This listener says, can you still prune evergreens now?
Yes, you can prune evergreens. They're kind of semi-dormant. I would say if it's pine trees you're interested in pruning, you might want to wait just as the spring growth is coming out, because we have information on how to prune pines on the website with pruning those candles, or the spring growth makes them bushier. But for things like yews, arborvitas, yes, you can still go ahead and prune those now.
Okay. This listener wants you to tell them about rain lilies. A friend, they said, had a pot of lovely pink flowers with lily-like leaves. Researching this, I believe they were called rain lilies. They grew well in a pot on the north-facing patio.
Gosh, I don't know what rain lilies are specifically. It sounds maybe like agapanthus. Agapanthus has like a lily-like flower to it. I would recommend agapanthus for anyone who is interested in growing flowers in containers. Agapanthus have a round round shaped flower, many flowers on one stalk, and they flower for a long time. Good heat tolerance, fairly good drought tolerance, but I don't know a common name for agapanthus. Maybe it is rain lily.
Well, we'll do a little research and find
out. This. Yes.
We'll find out. Right. Let's see if we can't grab one more. We have just a couple of minutes left, Mary. Let's see. Can I begin to pot up my cannas? Indoors, of course. I have stored them in a 50-degree area. I want to get them started. So when I transfer them outside late May or early June, they will have some leaves. Thank you for that, they say.
Yes, I would go ahead and start your cannas now. They really do benefit from having more time to grow because they take quite a while. They like warm conditions. So nothing to be gained by putting them out until it's consistently 65 or more. So I did Google rain lilies. Rain lilies are zephyr lilies. I have not grown zephyr lilies. They're in the amaryllis family. Probably not a hardy bulb for us in Minnesota. I don't think so.
Probably.
But another, there's so many plants. Just when I think I know quite a few, I find one I don't know.
Well, that's what keeps it interesting, right? Always learning.
Oh, it does. That's
Well,
right.
Yeah. Mary, we are just about out of time. Let's, again, give the University of Minnesota website great reading, great resource. Tell us about that.
Yes, extension.umn.edu. You can click on Yard and Garden. You can find lots of things to do right now, the end of March, starting your seeds, looking forward to what to plant, what you can still prune, work on in the garden. And you can also look for classes between Extension, the Arboretum, and the Horticulture Society. Lots of classes that you can take this spring to learn how to garden.
And real quickly, to get to the Arboretum, you have to kind of register online yet, I presume.
Yes, you do. Register online, but they're, every half hour, there are like 400 different people that can come into the Arboretum. So it's a huge number of people that can come. We will probably continue registration at the Arboretum because it works for everybody to make sure there's room for parking and the gardens are not that crowded. But it's over 1,200 acres, so you can lots of place to spread around, walk around, and
it's a
enjoy
great place.
Plants.
You'll be back for more. Mary, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. We will talk soon.
Thank you, Denny.
You bet. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Get those basement sump pump radon questions ready next hour on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.